motility patterns. Trying to find the party for the day of German unity, I rumbled through to Friedrichstrasse, where the guards would stare out their duty. Their backsides had lost the good seats where they looked up and calmly stamped our mirror books before passing them back. They stood shimmering in their peaked caps. "Oh, where do your spirits reside?" I asked. "In Nirvana, Valhalla, or Hades?" "Place the things in your pockets on the table," they moaned. I dug out my final Ostmark. "Once we worked on the surface, checking the changing faces, but we lost our familiar terrain and left on a dimlit train." The concert house had become a casino, and I looked up at a boy with a lyre, naked with wings on the back of a lioness, watching crowds watch a crowd scene on the granite steps as the gamblers in their DJs and ball gowns ignored stairs to descend to the period black taxis and a row of collapsible chairs. Commotion, and suddenly a scream, lights out at the reflector screen. The film crew thanked those waiting to cross the square for their patience. "Okay, guys, we're done with this surface. You're free to cross this terrain." I'd seen no actors' faces and moved off like a lumbering train. Then the east wind hurtled down Friedrichstrasse like a T-54 towards Checkpoint Charlie, but failing to knock over the mannequins who spend stiff lives behind spotlit windows. Both male and female in our image, no sweat raining from their brow, their clothes due one day to be ours, their reproductive behaviour a mystery, who feed themselves from food courts in bright basements. And now my feet circumnavigated the deposits of horses as I headed for the historical museum. That flat, consistent terrain where you gallop across the surface and glimpse important faces leaning from old steam trains, and facts like dropped gloves or a lost hat in white remains, where car by car a goods train flies by with flurries of dust. A city offline in the haze, where clouds make towers invisible and ice clings to the bramble under the residue of the cold rains. And snow reforms into drips on the roofs where chimneys gape, and the visitor dances and wades through the fields of 1946. Crunching across the white surface, blinking at the sun glare face, reading the paper terrain and following the flurrying train. I came to some recent ruins, their graffiti and ragged patterns of glass and brick, was and is, were the tenses of the iron ladder that stepped off into the air, hanging from the red brick factory, producing the modernist fragment. Jets flooded into my ears, like the harmonic noise of old fridges in dark flats. To one side, the sign no one nears, danger of collapse. Under this familiar terrain, below this bricked up surface, beneath this stiffened face, run fickle, rumbling trains. On I loped. The overhead lines resembled a trombone slide. The whole thing formed one huge, stretching, spreading loom. With the sun caught not in the trees, but in the high-voltage cables, the brightening morning made a new ideogram of the east. As I walked along and on this sector of the energy corridor, the trains were hootering their language, brushstrokes in established order. We hurtle across the surface, on the lines of its changing face, through the mapped-out terrain. We are the talking trains. Ha! There was the Berlin red arse, swaying its way like a water snake, above and around and across the railway's brown-leaved embankment, not wasting week after week, groaning that next year it's 40, as it works in the conflict network, its plumage bright graffiti, and the North Atlantic oscillation still fed it with tolerable weather. Trees here had yet to wither, I asked for its views on deforestation. I flap across the surface, and though I see its changing face, this is still fine avian terrain. I make off before the flying train. I slipped through a gap where trees encreepered, and shrubs and nettles lolled and increased beneath the regular rise of the jets. A sapling raised its head through climbing frame bars. Apples bailed out and spread all across the snaking path. The untrodden grass would find its ragged height to rest at. The crows barked from their nests, and I climbed up onto the new fence and looked out across the surface to catch its changing face, watching the familiar terrain and listening to the passing trains.